Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us today. We always look forward to this broadcast where we can include you, our listener, in part of the dialogue and the discussion. We always invite you to call in. That call-in telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. We invite you to call in, have the dialogue and discussion. We'd love to hear from you each day as we face the issues. And let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is the truth book. It is the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that ought to be our guidebook for life. It is the light unto our pathway. And that's the truth book, the Bible, the Word of God. It's the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32, if you continue in my Word, talking about the Bible, the Word of God, then you're my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth comes through the Word of God. It is the truth book, and it's the truth of the Word of God that sets us free, regardless of the circumstances we see in life and living. It's Jesus that said in John 14:6, I am truth. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is God incarnate. He's the Logos of God, the Word of God. From Genesis 1:1 through Revelation 22, it is the Lord Jesus Christ that we see speaking. It's not just, by the way, a lot of people have a red letter edition, say, well, these are the words that Jesus spoke. Well, if Jesus is God, and he is, then he's from the beginning, from back and back and back and back and back some more. And so he has always been, always shall be. And so it's all the truth of the Word of God. And Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. And then Jesus says in John 17:17, thy word is truth. It's the truth of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that ought to direct our lives. And as we face the issues each day, especially in the society in which we're living in today, where it seems like there's no truth being told, certainly not on the Communist Network News or MSNBC or any of the others, certainly not by any of the Looney Tunes on the left with the politicians. They are going to fabricate whatever is said, so we need to be able to discern what is truth. It was George Orwell, the secularist, a number of years ago that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we see that taking place today in reality, in real time, every day. We're watching that play out. This is the reason it's so important for Christians to go back to the basics of the truth. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus, that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And that ought to be the mantra and the mindset and the mandate of every child of God today. Is seeking the truth and nothing but the truth. An individual is sworn in court to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God, is usually the swearing in of a witness in a courtroom. And it ought to be on the basis that as Christians, we seek the truth, to listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about hurricane preparedness equipment, as well as all of the power equipment for landscape and lawn care for the individual and for the professional. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road, 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. You look for that gigantic flag, American flag on a pole that's 165 feet in the air. You find the American flag at the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen. You'll find the home of Tools for Time, toolsfortime.com, toolsfortime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to be talking about today, if our foundations be destroyed. In fact, that's the question that's asked in Psalms 11:3. If the foundation be destroyed, what are the righteous to do? And so if our foundations are destroyed, what will we do? How should we respond? But ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the dialogue and discussion on that, let me invite you to worship with us this Sunday. We have Bible study, some call it Sunday school, at 9:30 a.m. 9:30, we have the Bible study hour, where in individual groups you can have dialogue and discussion about the biblical text that the teacher is teaching from, and we would invite you for that. And then on Sunday mornings at 10:45, we have the morning worship service. We still have the old-fashioned gospel singing, the old-fashioned gospel preaching. Now, some do not like the term old-fashioned, but it's sticking to the rudimentary fundamental elementals of preaching and teaching the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. We don't believe in what I'm calling the pop-up church, where there's a mindset that you can do the little mini rock and roll service for about 45 minutes, have 15-minute sermonette for Christianettes. We believe that the time ought to be allocated where as you sing, you're singing songs that praise the Lord Jesus Christ, words that can be understood in that praise, and you don't have the backbeat of the music so loud that you cannot understand the 7-Eleven music that's being played today in so many churches. So if you're looking for a place to worship where the Word of God is proclaimed verse by verse, we're still preaching through the book of the Revelation on Sunday morning, being chapter 14 this Sunday morning. And so I pray that you will find opportunity to come and worship with us. And then at 7 o'clock on Sunday evening is the evening worship service. Yes, we still believe that it is honoring to the Lord to have morning and afternoon worship service where we have the privilege of singing praises to the Lord, opening His Word, and allowing Him to speak to us through His Word. So we invite you to come. If you're a member of a church where the pastor is still hiding under the bed or in the closet, the church is not open, we'd love to have you visit with us. If you're looking for a church home, we'd love to have you come to be with us. If you have met by the way of this radio broadcast, we'd love to meet you in person. So let me invite you to come worship with us, First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old San Augustine Road. We're exactly 1 mile south of I-295 on Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, many of us are awakened today to recall the horrendous horrors of 9/11, some 19 years ago. Some 19 years ago, ladies and gentlemen, almost 3,000 people died in those Islamic attacks on America. Some of the most horrific scenes, some of the most horrifying things to watch is to watch the replay. I watched some of that this morning on Fox News. They're the only channel network that was showing replay of the horrific events of 9/11. As I watched that, watching the Twin Towers crumble to a pile of rubble on the ground. We should never forget the tragedy. We should never forget the tragedy that took place on that fateful day so many years ago. We should remember, ladies and gentlemen, we should not forget the thousands that even suffer today as a result of the reminder of the 9/11 attacks on America and what it has done. Here's a brief article that I'm just going to read you a sketch from. It is from Richard Thompson, President Chief Counsel of the Thomas More Law Center. And he said this, very briefly he states, today marks the 19th anniversary of the horrific September 11, 2001 attack on America and our God-given freedoms that we so cherish. Nearly 3,000 Americans were murdered by Islamic terrorists that day. We also remember and honor the bravery of the first responders, many of whom lost their lives trying to save others. Many more are still suffering from their injuries. This is also the time to remember the thousands of American soldiers who were killed or wounded and are still suffering in the ensuing wars in the Middle East, Afghanistan, Iraq, and places unknown. We honor those who answered our nation's call to arms. We also remember the sacrifices made by their families. Pray, please pray, he says, for our men and our women in harm's way, defending our nation and our way of life. So on this 19th anniversary of 9/11, let us rededicate ourselves to defeat radical Islam. We owe this much to all who lost their lives that day, as well as in the battles that followed. We still will never forget. And he signs off, God bless America. So let's remember that. I think it is something that we ought never to forget. Even though Comrade de Blasio in New York City, the mayor, refused to allow the gathering at the monument for the reading off of the names of almost 3,000 that were slain that day. The Tunnel to Towers organization that takes care of the wounded and those that died, those that are still having difficulties, they made it a point to make sure that those names can be read off. They set up a gigantic tent, don't know the location of it, and they were at the very time that the attacks took place in 2001. They were reading off those names individually, one by one, remembering that event. Ladies and gentlemen, as horrific as that event was, and the human toll we are today, ladies and gentlemen, facing an enemy that is more demonic, more sinister, and much greater of a detriment to America. In fact, let me just read you the introduction to an article that Dr. Neil Phelps in our college and university recently wrote. He says, and may I quote two brief paragraphs, "We must recognize that the world is not a healthy place to live. We're faced with toxic substances, harmful bacteria, fungus growth, malignant cancers, and infectious viruses. There are hundreds of diseases that affect our body's systems. We're experiencing the biological danger of COVID-19, the deadly disease that attacks our respiratory system, and it is worldwide. As far as we know, there's no known vaccine, no sure remedy. Symptoms, fever, cough, shortness of breath, but there's a more infectious and deadly disease that threatens our whole planet. Every person, everywhere on the face of the earth, that spiritual sickness is called sin. Sin is like an incurable virus. It is always fatal. For that spiritual disease called sin, there's no immunity. All are badly infected." And it goes on to talk about what the COVID-19 does, but what sin does that has eternal consequences. So, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about today our moral, ethical, spiritual, biblical foundation. If the foundations be destroyed, what are the righteous to do? How should we respond to the destruction of our foundations in America today? And we go back to a biblical text, ladies and gentlemen, in 2 Timothy chapter 3. And I'm not going to try to exegete the unit of thought, which is the basic first five verses, but I want to read the verses to us. We're going to talk about two or three of those verses and some of the characteristics of the foundations being destroyed that we find today, and those characters, if you will, along with the characteristics that carry it out. The Apostle Paul speaking, he is the human author of this text. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemous, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away." Let's look at, very briefly, I want to use this as the foundation, ladies and gentlemen, for what I want to say in this broadcast. I believe we need to have a basic biblical grasp of what God says the last days will be like, for us to understand some of the things that's taking place and the dynamics thereof that's destroying our foundation today. The foundation of America, the foundation that has been secure in the Constitutional Republic called America for 244 years now. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says in the last days, perilous times. The word perilous means dark, dangerous, deadly, devastating, difficult, depraved. Those are the times that we're living in, ladies and gentlemen. We find this describes our current society today. Loves of their own selves, that is prideful and selfish, covetous, that means greedy, wanting what others have, boasters, self-centered, filled with pride, boasting of what can be done. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, a lot that I'll say with this identifies the loose likes lost liberals. It identifies the socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. It identifies those that's wanting to tear down the morals and ethics and the values in America, that applaud the rioting in the streets and the burning of buildings, the vandalization that's taking place of our major cities. This article, this text literally says, those that are lovers of own selves, covetous, boasters, proud. Proud means having a sense of self-importance. Look at me. Look at my importance. Look at who I am. Look at my bravery and what I'm doing. Blasphemers, that means cursing God, railing against spiritual values, destruction of moral, ethical values. Says disobedient to parents, that's out of control, not willing to follow parental authority. Kids gone wild. And that's what we see on the streets in America today. Most of these thugs that we see are teenagers, are just over teenagers, unthankful. That means no recognition of the source of our blessings, a sense of I deserve things and I'm going to take what I want. And then the scripture says unholy. That is no thought for God, no spirituality, literally a godlessness lifestyle in society. Without natural affection, it speaks of the clearly of the LGBTQ agenda, the sodomite living and lifestyle. It covers our nation today with that lifestyle and living that is a sin on the very surface of it, but it's embraced by just about all of our denominations today. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about if our foundations be destroyed. And I'm talking about the biblical, moral, ethical, spiritual foundations that America's built upon. Our founding fathers built our nation's documents, if you will, our Declaration of Independence, our Constitution, and therein our Bill of Rights, founded upon biblical principles. And if the moral, ethical foundation be destroyed, what are we going to do? But I want us to notice in that third verse that I read a moment ago from 2 Timothy chapter 3, it says, despisers of those that are good. Despisers of those that are good. Today, all that stands for Christ, all that stands for Christ's likeness, all that stands for godliness, and the church, ladies and gentlemen, is the beacon of that which is seen as spirituality, morality, and ethical values in America today. And it is despised by the wickedness in the world. In fact, here's an article that says Christians warned to wake up as the church burns. The charred pews and collapsed roof looked like a wreck from ISIS torching its way through Mosul. But the target was a 249-year-old church as Michigan, San Gabriel in California. And the perpetrators were rioters claiming their cause was racial justice. It was just one attack on the church among five within 48 hours, the weekend of July the 11th and 12th, noted Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council. Establishment media aren't covering the attacks on churches at all, Perkins said, because it does not want to expose the movement for what it really is, a sham of racial equality and a revolt against the rule of law rooted in the transcendent truth of God. Perkins said Americans, especially Christians, are making a huge mistake by burying their heads in the sand and thinking, this too shall pass. It will pass, all right, along with our freedoms if we don't wake up to the threat, he warned. Some mayors and leaders made the mistake that if we just feed the mob a few statues and monuments, they'll go quietly into the night. In Florida, a 23-year-old arsonist who laughed at the police that was on a mission crashed into the sanctuary of the Queen of Peace Catholic Church in Florida while congregants were praying when he set the building on fire. A historically black church also was the target. Calvary Baptist Church in San Diego, watching its building for children's ministry, burned to the ground. In New York City, mobs made bonfires out of two Virgin Mary statues with words such as idol scrawled black paint on them. Even Jesus' sculpture was decapitated. Perkins believes the violence is not about the death of George Floyd. Rather, it is a smokescreen for the real agenda of fundamentally transforming the United States of America. Black Lives Matter leaders boast of being trained Marxists, he noted, and Marxism has no place for God. Perkins cited progressive activist Sean King, saying all murals and stained glass windows of white Jesus and his European mother and white friends should come down also. But Perkins said, it's not about Jesus being white. It has never been. But it's about hating what Jesus and the churches represent, and that is truth. That is what we're talking about, ladies and gentlemen. It is a matter of watching the progressive destruction of the fundamental foundation of the United States of America, and the realization and the recognition that all that is good is despised. And the church stands for good. The church and the cross that is generally the spire on a church is recognized by the lost world. The Black Lives Matter anarchists and Antifa, the anarchists, those that are the proponents for overthrowing and destroying the constitutional republic called the United States of America. They are antithetical to anything that's called peace and prosperity in the future of a great nation. It is something we need to recognize as a major danger in our nation today. Here's an article by Matt Staver from Liberty Counsel. First, they attack the churches. Then they attack the wealthy. Then they attack the entire culture. For over 100 years, radical Marxists have taken the same steps to accomplish the revolution. One of Marxism's key traits is that of progresses in a distinctive way. First, Marxist attacks the church because the truth of the Bible easily exposes the lies of a godless utopia. Today in America, churches and houses of worship nationwide have been illegally and unconstitutionally shut down or restricted by lawless bureaucrats who have gone so far as to arrest pastors and threaten to bulldoze churches that continue to meet. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about today if our foundations be destroyed. You might say, well, if the church is destroyed, in fact, it was Andy Stanley that was laughing at, mocking, ridicule, making fun of Dr. John MacArthur and his stand against the ungodly, unholy movement in California to shut the churches down and to fine his church and to prosecute him as a result of the church remaining open. Andy Stanley laughed and mocked at John MacArthur and said, there's no place in the Bible that says the church needs to meet in a building. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's the way God's ordained it. The first century church met in a building. It happened to be called the home. It was the home church. We're in facilities today that God has been honored to be housed in, if you will. Not that we house God. That's not what I'm indicating at all. But we have churches today that we have the opportunity to come together and to meet. The scripture has commanded us that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the heathens do. And may I remind us, we ought to be obedient to that. But in obedience to that, we're finding across America today the ungodly, unholy, unconstitutional mindset that you can shut the churches down. And the church ought to continue to stand and wave the banner that we're free as a people, free as a nation. But ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the perilous times of the last days. Despisers of those that are good. Didn't say despisers of those that do good, but despisers of those that are good. The word good, there's the word, little Greek word kalos, means honorable, recognizing God, reverencing God. And so there's a despising today of those that represent God, represent the church, represent Christianity, represent spirituality. But ladies and gentlemen, today the church is dissed, rejected, ridiculed, and despised. And today we're witnessing state after state after state as they're enacting laws that are designed to undermine the morals and the ethics and the values and the spirituality of our great nation. ladies and gentlemen, as a nation, it seems that there's a push to destroy the moral, spiritual foundation that built America, that America has known for 244 years. Here's an article. It says, the court suspends city rule demanding photographer promote same-sex unions. We've seen this across America, Colorado in particular, California also, where they are prosecuting and persecuting Christian bakers, Christian photographers, Christian business people that are wanting to stand based on their morals and ethics and values and their conscience based on what the Word of God says. This article says, court suspends city rule demanding photographer promote same-sex union. An order has been issued by the U.S. District Court for the Western District of Kentucky that halts the enforcement of a city ordinance that it says is likely to be found in violation of the U.S. Constitution. At issue is Louisville's demand that photographers, if they provide services to traditional marriages, provide the same services for same-sex duos, even if their faith forbids it. The case involves the photographer Chelsea Nelson and her Chelsea Nelson Photography Company. The city rule not only requires Nelson to provide a provider of her artistry, which the court also has defined as speech, is in support of same-sex duos in violation of her faith. It forbade her from talking about her faith in the business. The court suspended that demand, saying, Nelson is substantially likely to succeed on her free speech claim. Quote, to cut through the chase, the court said, Nelson is likely to win by applying the binding precedents and straightforward principles. Her photography is art, and art is speech. The government can't compel speech when it violates the speaker's religious or political principles. End quote. At least, ladies and gentlemen, there's the court's decision that is on target. Don't know what the future appeals will be on that case, but we've had it across the nation, even right here in our city, where a Christian photographer was challenged and chided and pushed by the Human Rights Ordinance and the commission that is to enforce that because he refused to do the photographs for a wedding of a sodomite couple. What I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen, is those that despise those that are good. We're talking about if our foundation be destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the cracking and the crumbling and the destruction of the foundation of America. Listen very carefully. You might say, well, I'm not a Christian. It doesn't matter. You might say, well, I don't believe that everything should be on a spiritual basis. That doesn't make any difference. Ladies and gentlemen, if the moral, ethical, biblical, spiritual foundation of America is destroyed, America is, for all practical intents and purposes, gone. It can never be recouped. It can never be brought back. It will never survive the socialist, Marxist, communist dictators if America loses this election, for example, November the 3rd of this year. If President Donald J. Trump is not reelected to continue to fight for the moral ethical foundation of our nation's foundations will be destroyed, and Nancy Pelosi and AOC and the three will absolutely be in charge. It won't be Joe Biden. Joe Biden is, unfortunately, not all there. Joe Biden is the Trojan horse that, if elected, Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer and Kamala Harris will be in charge of the leadership in the United States of America. I shudder at that thought. And ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says California legislature passes bill reducing penalties for oral and anal sex with willing children. That is destroying our foundation, the moral foundation of our nation, ladies and gentlemen. We need to recognize where we're going today and where we're headed as a nation, lest we are careful to take a stand and to vote. 31 million American Christians did not vote in 2016. We need to sit up, stand up, smell the coffee, and register to vote and vote this election. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about if our foundations be destroyed. We're going to have a one-minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. We'll come right back as we face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.